So this morning we're going to continue on our journey of exploring metta. And when I was thinking about this talk and the retreat, I thought, well, there's so much one could say on metta. There's whole books written on the subject. So obviously had to contain myself to a certain aspect of metta. And what emerged was this title, which was a title as called Metta, the Thread that Connects. So that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning, is Metta as a thread that connects. And it's going to be quite a poetic kind of personal talk, really. On my reflections of Metta as a thread, and Metta as a thread that connects us to ourselves, to others, to the world, to reality. So I'll start with a poem by William Stafford. It's called The Way It Is. There's a thread you follow. It goes amongst things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you are pursuing. You have to explain about the thread, but it's hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen, people get hurt or die, and you suffer and get old. Nothing you can do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread. So I've come to think of the spiritual life as this thread that goes through our lives. And in a sense, I think of metta as that thread for me, that metta is very much is that thread. It is the capacity for us to be with ourselves, to be with each other, to be in the world. So metta is this thread that allows us to be with the way it is. It allows us to be with the delights of life and the tragedy of life. Because nothing we can do can stop times unfolding, can stop life unfolding, but we can change the way we're with that unfolding. In a way, that's the Buddha's teaching. We can't change the way that life unfolds, but we can change the way we are with that unfolding. So we can bring metta, this quality of loving kindness, to life unfolding in us. So metta is this thread. It's this thread that connects us to life. That connects us, therefore, to the way it is, to the way life is. So in Buddhism, we have these two practices of mindfulness and metta. So mindfulness is talked about as a non-judgmental awareness of our experience. And I think they couple together in my experience, mindfulness and metta. They're not separate. So if mindfulness is this non-judgmental awareness of our experience, metta in my experience is what allows us to have a non-judgmental awareness of our experience. So metta is this unconditional love and friendliness towards our experience in this unconditional way. So I was talking last night about the Buddha teaching the monks the Karaniya Metta Sutta in response to fear, so their experience of fear. So he didn't teach them to deny their fear or push away their fear. He taught them how to bring loving kindness to their experience of themselves and of all beings, and that in itself transformed their fear. So we practice metta as a way of being with our experience. Yeah, it's a quality of presence with our experience. It's this quality of non-judging, of unconditional loving kindness, of friendliness to our experience, a deep concern for our well-being and the well-being of others. So in that sense, I think, metta is really about trying to be present with life, being present with our experience. So often we have these poles of being either alienated from our experience, a bit kind of cut off, a bit blocked, a bit just not really sure what's going on. or being completely overwhelmed by our experience and kind of caught up in the despair and the drama of it all. And in a way, practice, mindfulness and metta create a container that allow us to be with our experience, to be present with our experience, without needing to either be alienated from it or overwhelmed by it. And it's quite helpful to just notice whether you have a tendency towards one or another, whether you have a tendency towards being a bit alienated and cut off from your experience, or whether you have a tendency to be a bit overwhelmed by your experience. And metta is this thread that allows us to connect to our experience and to be present with that. And that's quite an intimate business, I think. Often think about metta as becoming intimate with my experience, being open to it, being sensitive to it, to allowing myself to really experience myself. So this is metta. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about metta as a thread that allows us to connect to our experience and to be with life. So nothing we can do can stop the unfolding of life. Life has its delights, it has its tragedies, but we can meet all those experiences with a thread of metta, and that's what we're doing in practicing the metta bhavana. And I think sometimes that can all sound a bit nice. I don't know about you, but this sense of developing this nice, warm kind of kindness to things. And maybe that sounds a bit simplistic or naive or, just nice. But actually, it's a very radical thing we're doing. It's very radical to allow ourselves to really be with our experience just as it is. And that's transforming. The Buddha really taught us to be with our experience. So the Buddha taught about suffering and the end of suffering, from freedom from suffering, and he taught about suffering being caused by craving. So we crave our experience to be other than the way it is. So we crave our experience to be, if it's unpleasant, we crave it to be pleasant. If it's pleasant, we crave it to keep going and keep going and never to stop. And so actually this practice of metta, this radical acceptance of the way it is, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, it's a very radical practice, yeah. And it is that practice that will enable us to find freedom of heart. So, it's metta that creates the gap. It's the metta that creates the gap between feeling and craving. So if we're having unpleasant experience and we're pushing that away, it's metta that creates the gap that allows us to do something different. It's metta that allows us to turn towards our experience, whether that our experience is pleasant, painful or neutral. It's metta that allows us to be with the way it is, with reality. So that's, we're talking about metta as a thread that's connecting us to our experience, to the way it is. And the Buddha talks a lot about impermanence, about the changing nature of things. And metta is what allows us to be with that changing nature of things. And I don't know about you, but I suppose with me, sometimes I can think, if experiences, if we're bringing metta to our experience, that's pleasant or that's unpleasant, it's ever changing. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it doesn't matter what my experience is, whether my experience is pleasant or unpleasant, but it does matter. It's your life. It's the only life you're going to have, in this life and lifetime anyway. So it does matter whether your experience is unpleasant or whether it's pleasant. The content does matter, and the content is always changing. So metta is what allows us to attend to the content as it is and take the content as important. We don't want to deny the content of our experience because it's always changing. We need to attend to the content of our lives, but be able to attend to the content of our lives with this quality of awareness and loving kindness. So when I think about that, I think about this poem, which is one of my favourite poems by Charles Bukowski. It's called Your Life is Your Life. So your life is your life. Don't let it be clubbed into dank submission. Be on the watch. There are ways out. There is a light somewhere. It may not be much light, but it beats the darkness. Be on the watch. The gods will offer you your chances. Know them. Take them. You can't beat death, but you can beat death in life. And sometimes, the more often you learn to do it, the more light there will be. Your life is your life. Know it while you have it. You are marvellous. The gods wait to delight in you. So your life is your life, and metta is a thread that connects you to your life. And in a way, this talk is an invitation to all of you to connect to your life, to connect to all of your life, to connect to the bright, beautiful, shining, pleasant, heights, and to connect to the darker, despairing depths of your life. Yeah. So we all have these poles in our experience. We all have the parts of ourselves that we like. We all have the parts of ourselves we don't like. We all experience pleasure and we all experience pain. Yeah. All of us. Yeah, you're not special in that. I like to think I'm special in that, but I'm not, yeah? And so this talk is an invitation to you to turn towards your life and to turn towards all of your life. And you can't, with spiritual practice, you can't actually just go towards the pleasant. You can't just go towards developing more pleasant experience. You can't go in just one direction. So you have pleasant and unpleasant. And if you want to move towards more pleasant, bright experience in your life, you also have to acknowledge the unpleasant in your life. Yeah, you can't go in both directions. So we have to get to know all of ourselves. And that's very much what spiritual practice is about. It's about integration and a gathering up of all those different aspects of our being. It's allowing us to really acknowledge all those different parts of our beings with ourselves and with each other. That's quite a courageous practice, yeah. And it's this quality of loving kindness that allows us to do this work, to gather up all of our beings, to integrate all of our beings and our energies. And bring them all together so that we can see just the way it is, see how we really are. So we need to connect to both the bright and shining parts of ourselves and the more depths in our experience, maybe the parts that we turn away from. So when we're using metta as a thread to connect to the bright parts of ourselves, I often think about the Buddha teaching, well, what we dwell on, we become. So we need to really cherish and pay attention to positive, pleasant experiences, feelings in our lives. Because actually, I think sometimes in our culture, cherishing the positive, cherishing the bright, doesn't come as easily to us, ironically, as cherishing the more dark, difficult parts of our experience. So I think actually to allow ourselves to really open up to the brightness in our experience, the the positive capabilities of us as individuals is quite a risk. Yeah, I think it's easier in a way to stay cynical, to stay closed, to stay skeptical. I think that's a safer position in the world that we live in. And actually to allow ourselves to really open to our potential, I think is going against the grain quite strongly. There's this poem called Risk by Annis Nin. She says, "And then the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom." Yeah. So metta is this thread that allows us to take that risk, to take the risk to blossom, to really allow ourselves to shine and to share with each other our positive qualities. So when you notice your positive qualities, really allow them to grow. It's a very famous quote by Marianne Williamson, which I'm sure some of you at least will know, where she talks about our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. And she really exhorts us to share our shining with the world. And I think this is a really important part of Sangha as well, and being with each other in the spiritual community is allowing each other the space to shine. Yeah. So not cutting each other down or being competitive, but really encouraging each other to shine and be brilliant. And I think when I was thinking about myself and my own journey of learning to shine, it's a journey I'm still on, of course, but I was thinking about the quality of being capable, actually. That's what I was thinking about. So I think a lot of women are very capable. Yeah, we're very capable. And we can really put ourselves into things. We can be up front. We can shine. We can, be capable in lots of different ways. But I think we can worry quite a lot about that capability being too ego-driven. Yeah, so that we might be capable because if we're capable, then the world will love us. Or we might have those kind of views. And it's not that those aren't important views to look at. You know, we don't want to be constantly driven by the need to be loved. And at the same time, we're capable. So, I encourage you to allow yourself to shine and not worry too much if there's a bit of mixed motives in there about why it is you want to shine. Because, of course, we all want to be loved. And it might be that you think, well, if I shine, the world will love me, which is true, might be true. But therefore, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't think, oh, there's part of me that's just doing that because I want to be loved, therefore I won't do it. It's like actually shining, allowing yourself to be capable and share your brilliance with others is a really beautiful thing to do and really important part of who you are. And you might have all sorts of motives for doing that, but don't not do it. Yeah. So we really need to let ourselves blossom, to let ourselves shine and let ourselves be loved. So metta often is talked about in the sense of bhavna, in the sense of cultivating. Yeah. So traditionally we have these phrases, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering, may I progress, may others be well, be happy. And we use those phrases or we use images or we use colours to help us cultivate a sense of metta in our being. That's really important. Great practice. But metta also has this other end of receptivity, of allowing ourselves to open up to love. Yeah. And well, for me personally, that's there's more there's a there's an equal challenge in that end. So there's obviously a challenge in cultivating metta for myself and others, but there's also a challenge in allowing myself to open up to metta for myself and for others. And I really encourage us to look at just allowing ourselves to open up to the fact that we are loved. Or just even that sentence, that statement, how does it feel in your being when you say, okay, I'm going to let myself open up to the fact that I am loved. I don't know about you, but there's a kind of fear response in me of, well, but what if I'm not loved? And I think we can trust we are loved. Yeah, I'm sure all of us have at least one person, if not a myriad of people in our lives that love us. And yet, to what extent do we allow ourselves to feel loved? So this for me is a bit of a personal practice. It's ebbed and flowed over the years, sadly. I think it's a practice that I could do with doing every day. It's really just allowing myself to feel loved. When I was on my 3-month ordination retreat, I made it a very strong part of my practice up there of allowing myself to feel loved by the community of women that I was with. And over 3 months of doing that practice, it had a very profound effect on my psyche, on my being. So when I came back, I was less defensive, I was less competitive, I had less ill will for others, I had less need to prove myself. Because I trusted that I was loved, therefore I didn't need to be competitive or defensive or have ill will for others, because I trusted I was loved. So I think this is a really important practice. And obviously in Buddhism, there's a strong emphasis on altruism, on the need to love others and to be of benefit to all beings. And that is really important. But we have to learn to love ourselves if we're going to be of benefit to others. And Bhante himself is categorical about that. He's really clear. He says, in fact, there is only one need of one's own that has to be fulfilled before one can preoccupy oneself effectively with the needs of others. And it is not a physical or material need, but simply a matter of emotional positivity and security. We need to appreciate our own worth and feel that it is appreciated by others, to love ourselves and feel that we are loved by others. So if we are going to concern ourselves with the needs of others, if we are going to be able to fulfill an altruistic dimension in our lives, we also need to attend to our own need to feel appreciated and loved. And we need to learn to do that for ourselves. We need to learn to let ourselves be loved. Because actually people can love us, but unless we allow ourselves to be loved, where does that love land from them? Yeah, ultimately we have to be open to that love. So metta is a thread that allows us to connect to these bright, shining parts of ourselves. It's what gives us the courage to take the risk to blossom, to shine, and to let ourselves be loved. And metta is also the thread that connects us to our depths. So here's an excerpt from a poem called The Well of Grief by David White. Those who will not slip beneath the still surface of the well of grief, turning downward through its black water to the place we cannot breathe, will never know the source from which we drink. The secret water, cold and clear. So we have to be willing to slip beneath the surface of the well of grief. And that's not just a well in you, it's a well in everyone. Everyone has parts of themselves that they feel unacceptable, that they don't like in themselves, they feel would be too overwhelming to others, that they feel they can't share with themselves, with others. We all have those parts in ourselves, and if we're going to integrate all our energies, all of our parts of ourselves, and be able to bring all of that energy with us onto the path, really embrace our life as our life, we have to acknowledge these parts. We have to be willing to slip beneath the well of grief, to really meet those parts in ourselves. And this can be quite a soulful and poetic process, and quite, in a way, quite a purifying process. I think it has its own sweetness to it, actually, in my experience. There's definitely a sweetness, a satisfaction in moving towards those parts in ourselves that perhaps we shy away from. I think for myself, that's been quite a process, just really allowing myself to move towards the parts of myself that I haven't been willing to share with others. So I think that's taken different forms at different times over the last 10 years or so of practice. But definitely there was a big part of that for me has been turning towards my vulnerabilities. And this sense of, in a way, those vulnerabilities, if I was to share that more vulnerable part of myself, looking at this view that if I was to share the more vulnerable part of myself, that people would see me as a failure. So this need to be seen as competent, to be seen as okay, and that I've got it all sorted. When I haven't got it all sorted, there's still areas of my being that I'm learning to love and come to terms with. And there needs to be a willingness to embrace those, to share those with people. So for me, that's for those of you who know me or don't know me, you might notice that I walk with a limp or I'm unbalanced at times. And that's because I have an undiagnosed health condition that affects the way that my muscles and my nerves function. And that means that I can be a bit unbalanced and a bit clumsy and all those things. And that's been something that I've really had to learn to come to terms with. And when I first was diagnosed with that condition about 10 years ago, it really hit a nerve in me of, that means I'm unlovable and I'm incompetent. They were the two labels that I put very strongly on myself in relation to that experience. And over the years, I've really had to come to terms with that experience, to see that perhaps it's not the big deal that I make it into. Perhaps I can still be competent and lovable just with all those things, that those vulnerabilities actually are what make me human. And that all of us have those vulnerabilities, whether they're visible, whether they're invisible, whatever they look like in us. We all have those vulnerabilities in ourselves, and we do have to learn to love them. And through metta, we can learn to love those parts of ourselves. And one of my favourite poems is this poem, an excerpt of which I'll read, by Gawel Cannell. It says, The bud stands for all things, even those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower, and retell it in words and in touch. It is lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. So metta is what enables us to put the hand on the bud and retell it in words and in touch that it is lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. And all of us need to do that work. In whatever that bud looks like in us. Yeah, we have to retell it in words and in touch that it is lovely. Yeah. And we can't rush this process. Yeah. So I think there can be a tendency to think that we can turn towards our experience, take a quick glimpse at it, and tell it that it's lovely, and then it'll all be all right. But actually, you probably have noticed by now, it doesn't quite work like that. Yeah, that we have to keep coming back to these places in ourselves, to keep bringing love and metta to these places in ourselves. I think we have to allow ourselves to be a bit of a mess in process, actually, and to not tidy up the parts of ourselves that we hide away. So that might be a vulnerability in yourself, in the way that I talked about my vulnerability around my body. But it might also be like an emotional experience that you feel uncomfortable about. Maybe you experience a lot of fear. Maybe you experience a lot of anger. Maybe you experience irritation and grumpiness. Yeah, they're all parts of our experience that we'd probably rather not have. And we probably feel like we probably aren't that nice when we're in those states. But we have to acknowledge them when we're in them. We can't just make them go away. So last weekend, I was really grumpy. I was really grumpy all weekend. I'd been really tired and working very hard, and I'd got into this really grumpy, irritable state. And I spent most of the weekend trying to push away the fact that I was grumpy, partly because I was with someone else and I didn't want to impose my grumpiness on them. So I kind of thought, oh, better just try and keep a lid on it, keep it under control. And then they went out for a couple of hours and I just had the evening on my own. And there was this huge relief in me. It's like, great, I can just be grumpy and no one else has to deal with that. And I don't have to feel bad about it. And actually, I just lay on the sofa with a cup of tea and looked out the window and really let myself feel grumpy, let myself think, feel that in my body, reflect on what were the conditions that had brought that grumpiness into being, and allow myself to really feel how I felt. And with it, by the time my partner came home, I wasn't grumpy anymore because I'd let myself be grumpy, yeah, instead of just kind of pushing it away and pretending that wasn't who I was, and feeling like I didn't want to be that person. So, I really think we have to turn towards our experience. I think it's all too easy to think, oh yeah, I've seen that, now I'm just going to let it go. It's like, actually, we have to really see it. We have to really let ourselves feel it. And we have to do that over and over and over again. So metta is this thread. It's a thread that connects us to those bright, shining parts of ourselves. And it's a thread that connects us to our depths. It's the thread that brings all of those beings together. Yeah. So in Buddhism, we have, in Tibetan Buddhism, we have this image of the wheel of life, which you may or may not know. And in the wheel of life, we have all these different realms. We have the human realm, the godly realm, the animal realm, the Asura realm, the hell realms, the hungry ghost realms. And obviously, I haven't got time to go into a massive amount of detail about the wheel of life. But I wanted to talk about just metta as a thread that allows us to move into the human realm. Yeah, so all of us dwell at times in the human realm, and all of us dwell at times in those other realms, be it the hell realms, be it where our despair lies, be it the godly realms when we're blissing out, when life's fantastic, be it the Asura realm when we're in those angry states in ourselves, be it the hungry ghost realms. Whatever the realm that you dwell in outside the human realm, metta will allow us to move back into the human realm. And it's from that human realm which acknowledges all of the parts of ourselves, that we can be free, that we can move towards enlightenment. So it's good, I think, the wheel of life. I like it as an image to think about. Well, what is the realm that I am? What's my default realm if I'm not in the human realm? So it can be, that could be something to think about. You know, do you dwell more in the hell realms or the animal realms or the hungry ghost realms or the astral realm, the godly realm? So just think about that maybe, like, what is the realm and how can metta help you to come back into the human realm? I think for me, certainly in the past, the realm that I've dwelled in most outside the human realm is the hungry ghost realm. And in the hungry ghost realm, hungry ghosts, they're beings with these huge bellies and these tiny mouths. That's how they're depicted. And they spend a lot of their time in frustrated craving. Yeah, so they're reaching out, they're grasping out at life with feelings of desperation, feeling unloved, unlovable. And they're reaching out to life, to other beings, to food, to experience, to a whole range of things to try and fill these bellies. But actually, there's just a huge belly. There's a big lack in them, in me, when I'm in that experience. And I'm grasping out at other people to fill that lack in me. And it never works. I've tried it endlessly. I'm sure some of you have as well. So I think what that hungry ghost realm can look like is, this view that something out there is going to give me what I need to feel okay about myself. And it's a wrong view. Yeah. You already have what you need. Yeah, you have what you need in you. It's not out there, it's in you. And I think metta is allows us to really trust that we have what we need. So it's a bit like going back to what I was saying about allowing ourselves to feel loved. So if I'm in a frustrated state of feeling unloved, then I can grasp at my friends or my boyfriend or experience, or what can I do that's going to make me feel loved. But actually, ultimately, I need to come back to myself to give myself what I really need. And in the Wheel of Life, you also have the Buddhas. They come into each realm to help the beings in those realms be free and move out of the realm. And Amitabha is the Buddha that moves into the hungry ghost realm. So Amitabha is this red Buddha that's on the shrine in our shrine room with Shakyamuni Buddha. And Amitabha is the Buddha of unconditional love. And he's said to go into the hungry ghost realm to help dissolve those feelings of frustrated craving. So when we're in those spaces of frustrated craving, we can call on the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Yeah, so we can ourselves open up to feeling loved by others, by friends. And we can also allow ourselves to open up to the unconditional love of the Buddhas, and particularly to Amitabha. And I think in Buddhist practice, we need to do both. We need to open up to the Buddhas, to their qualities, and to developing those qualities in ourselves, as well as diving into the depths of our souls and getting to know that part of our being as well. So metta is a thread that connects us to all those things. So I've talked a lot about metta as a thread that's connecting us to ourselves, to our lives. But metta is also a thread that connects us to others. Ultimately, we are not different, self and other. We're very interconnected as beings. There's a huge solidarity in our experience. All of us will experience pleasure. All of us will experience pain. All of us will experience loss. All of us will experience gain in our lives, yeah? And there's a huge solidarity in experience. And I think that's another really important part as meta, as a thread. So it's a thread that connects us to others and to the fact that we are not separate from others. And I think this has been a reflection that's really been growing for me and I found really helpful over the last couple of years. If I'm finding myself in spaces of suffering or despair, I can reflect, all beings feel like this. Yeah, so when I'm in a grumpy mood, I can know all beings, unless they get grumpy sometimes, yeah? So, or if I'm experiencing pain, all beings experience pain. When I'm reflecting on my body disintegrating, all bodies will disintegrate and die. I'm not special in that, yeah? So we all experience pleasure and pain in our lives, all of us. And I think we can, when we're in our experience, reflecting on getting to know those parts of ourselves, it can be really helpful to also step back and remember all beings. Because I think we can get a bit overwhelmed looking at our own depth, those parts in ourselves. And actually, all beings have those experiences. And when we open up to the fact, to that fact, it can help us soften and connect to ourselves and to others. So in the metta bhavana practice, classically we connect, we send metta to a friend, to a neutral person, to a difficult person, and to all beings, yeah? So we're connecting to, we're cultivating and opening up to metta to all beings. So we can allow metta to be a thread that connects us to others. I had this very strong experience once where I was doing a lot of metta to someone that I was finding quite difficult. They were actually a very good friend. It's ironic, isn't it, how our good friends end up in a difficult person's face sometimes. I suspect it's because I had a lot of expectations of this person to be other than how they were as a friend of mine. And I was finding it quite difficult. They weren't giving me what I wanted. And so I was practicing a lot of metta towards this person over quite a period. And one day when I was doing this practice, I had this experience where I had this image. It's as if I'd been climbing over all this furniture. So I was in this really crowded room and the other person was at the other side of the room. And finally, after weeks and weeks of quite intensive metta practice, I'd finally got to the person at the other side of the room. I'd managed to climb over the furniture of my difficult experiences of them to them as a person with painful experience, with pleasurable experience, with hopes and fears, just like mine, actually, yeah. So I think for me, metta bhavana practice in relation to others is this thread that helps us climb over the furniture to actually meet the person on the other side of all of our stories and our views about each other. So all of us, we look at each other and we have stories and views and projections and ideas about each other, yeah? And the metta bhavana practice allows us to climb over all of those stories and views, to let them go, and to actually just meet the person on the other side who's really not that different from you, actually. Yeah, so metta is this very transforming practice that allows us in a way to purify those veils and those stories and to allow us to connect with unconditional love to other beings, to our friends, to our neutral people, and to the people that we're finding more difficult. And metta is also a practice that allows us to connect to the world. So it connects us to ourselves, it connects us to each other, and it connects us to the world. So again, we sit with this primary delusion that there's me in here and a world out there, and that me and the world are very separate. But actually, you don't have to reflect for very long to realise how connected you are to the world, how dependent you are to the world, for your survival even. You know, without food, without water, without clothes, without all these things that we need in the world to help us survive. We are ultimately incredibly connected to the world, yeah, to others in the world and to the world. Yeah, for our basic needs like food and water, but also for the houses that we live in, to the things that we buy, to the cars that we drive or drive in, yeah. They are all created by other people in the world. We are connected to the world. We are not separate from the world. And I think this is something really important to reflect on, actually. It's all too easy to not reflect on the fact that we are so connected to the world. I was on a two-week retreat with Paramantana earlier in the year, and towards the beginning of the retreat, he was introducing this idea in meditation that we both support the world and are supported by the world. And I reflected on that quite a lot over the period of that retreat, just like, well, in lots of different ways. So like, there's a reflection that actually I find it much easier to support the world than to allow myself to be supported by it. So that's interesting. But also, so then why, what does it mean to feel in connection with the world? And I found that quite strong as a reflection, actually. You know, I think the planet's in a very particular state in an environmental sense, you know, and that can be quite hard for me to look at, well, just how we use and abuse the planet in a way. And it's just much easier to be out of connection with that stuff and with the world. So what is it for you that allows you to feel in connection with the world? And what is it that separates you from feeling connected to the world? So we need metta as a thread to help us connect to the world. We live in the world. We are supported by the world. We are not separate from the world. The world supports us to live. We can open up to that connection. It's very rich. So yeah, metta is this thread, the thread that connects us to the way it is and to life. So back to the original poem by William Stafford. He says, "There's a thread you follow. It goes amongst things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you are pursuing. You have to explain about the thread, but it is hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen. People get hurt or die. You suffer and get old. Nothing you can do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread." So we have a precious opportunity to connect to this thread of metta in our lives. It's a transformational thread. It's a thread that will allow us to connect to our lives, to really live our life. Yeah, to take your life in your hands, because your life is your life. Yeah, it's a thread that allows us to turn towards all of our experience, to be as bright and brilliant and beautiful as you all are, and to turn towards and hold with great tenderness and love all of those parts in yourself you'd rather hide away from. It's the thread that allows us to connect to all of that in ourselves, and therefore to connect to all of that in each other, to honour that and hold that with each other. It's the thread that allows us to connect to all beings in all that we share. And it's a thread that connects us to the world. is a thread that allows us to connect to the way it is and to see things the way they are. It's a thread that if you hold, you can't get lost.